What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, and welcome back to You Up. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. I'm not going to give the calm, today is the day. We have to, we're going to
cut the shit immediately.
We're going to be normal, okay? We're going to be normal. We're going to have a fun time talking about dating in a COVID world. So we want to get out in front and let people know, yes, we came in, Jordana and I and Sean, it's three of us at the office. We came in to pop out a few so that we could get ahead. We'll probably not see each other for a month at this point,
we wanted to make sure that you guys got a good recording. There's only three people in this entire office right now. Jared and I are sitting very far apart.
It feels like we're in an abandoned sorority house. You know those movies? I've been saying this a lot lately. It does. And here's the thing. You're going to come here for fun to get your mind away from things because it is a sad and eerie time. And if you go to other places, maybe you're listening in, a town that's not as affected, and you're like, why is everyone so crazy about it? And then New York, it's like all the way to the other side of the spectrum,
right?
Where it's like everyone's it is a weird and eerie thing to hear someone sing happy birthday while they wash their hands. Like,
do you hear that?
Just walk. I walked in the bathroom. Some guy, happy birthday. Oh, it sounded like he was singing to his dead son.
Right. This seems like an apocalypse movie. I mean, I did watch Contagion.
That was a bad idea.
Honestly, I don't think it was a bad idea because it's way worse. In the movie, the thing kills you.
Okay.
Right? I think it's also, everyone is like very, I mean, it's nice that I live with a non-Jew because his anxiety is just way lower than mine.
His anxiety.
I mean, everyone is very, very worked up. Obviously, I understand it. I get it. But we also have to look. We live in a world where there's just an unlimited amount of movies and shows and distractions and things that are on TV. And obviously, a lot of people are really at risk. I'm not trying to make light of it. But
2 weeks from now, the we're here, taping early on, 2 weeks from now, the world changes very quickly. I mean, we don't even know how these words will sound.
We're recording this on a Monday and this comes out Tuesday at midnight. Who knows what could be different by then?
Totally.
That's really the scariest part, is just not knowing.
Exactly. And we fucked ourselves because our generation loves movies where this crazy thing happens in our world. Right. So I was talking about, you ever see the movie Zombieland?
I've heard of it.
So Zombieland.
Is that with Jesse Eisenberg?
Yes.
Okay.
So the whole premise is that they're going to have it's zombies, people turn into zombies, but amongst us. So he has an iPhone and he's talking about Metallica and you're so we've created movie worlds that reflect what would it be like if a zombie apocalypse came. So we've seen movie scenes, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago on a podcast where I'm like, I was getting, with people getting anxious then. And I was like, yeah, we don't want to be the guy, where you do the, the scene where the zombies bearing down on me and I look at the camera, I go, you're probably wondering how I got here. right?
Yeah.
And then we zoom back to 2 weeks before and on the radio, you hear COVID-19 and I'm going, Corona.
Right. And you're just touching everyone.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to be that guy looking back in the rear view mirror of your life being like, well, I was the fucking idiot in the movie. But we've seen so many of these movies that we know what the scene looks like. It's been drawn out for us. So we have these almost, it's almost like I have memories of me being in this situation. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Because you've seen all these movies? Because
I've seen the movies where Doofus A, who I'd be, would be like, whoa, 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 and then 2 weeks later,
they're dead.
Dead. Yeah. Fucking chopped head off. But I mean, this also has dating implications. We'll bring it to the show.
Yeah.
And if you're listening right now, we're a modern millennial dating podcast. We talk about the cross-section of dating and technology. We're going to do that here.
It's a weird time to date.
You're quarantined with your
If you're with someone, we did some polls yesterday on You Up just to see, which I thought were interesting.
Do you have the percentages?
I do. I have the results here.
Imagine being quarantined with someone who won't go down on you. Oh, my God. Godspeed to you, ma'am or sir. Sitting there thinking of blowjobs, thinking of someone giving you fucking or, cunnilingus.
Let's think about, imagine being quarantined with someone who's just a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like, that is way, to me at least.
It could happen.
That is way worse.
Imagine like, being quarantined with someone that you're like married to and you guys just got out of like marriage counseling.
Right.
And then you're like, we're going to give it one more shot. And then they're like, you're in the house for 2 weeks. You're like, or, oh, I didn't want to give it this type of shot.
You know, we get emails all the time from people who break up with people and they still live together.
This is the, yeah, this like, is tough. And I had a lot of people, now they're dealing with quarantine breakups.
And yeah, do you break, I mean, that's what I pulled. So I'll read the poll results. We can talk about them one by one.
Let's talk about it.
So the first one is, would you go on a first date with someone in the next week? Granted, I asked this question 20 hours ago.
Okay.
I think the answer has changed significantly since then.
I think so too.
As of 20 hours ago, 62% said no way and 38% said maybe.
There's no way.
First date.
There's no way you'd go on a first date right now.
Just nothing invested.
Also, like, that guy really wants to fuck. he's like, I'll do anything.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I mean, the only time of first date, so people are like asking, okay, so go on with the polls because I have a lot to say on these subjects.
Would you go on a second date with someone you had a great first date within the next week?
No.
So this.
Oh, that's someone who's really afraid of getting
62%
dumped.
Of people said yes. 38%
I think that number is going to change.
I agree, that's going to change.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can sort of. I think that like to be single now, like you really crave human connection. I think that's what these. You would think the answers would be like 98% no, and like 2% yes.
I think you're also put face to face with your loneliness. You're stuck
that's
in the
what I'm
house.
Saying.
I think there's alternatives. I mean, like second date. Why don't you guys listen to this podcast together and then talk it out over
on
FaceTime?
That's what I said.
Like, why don't you guys book club it? I'm not even to just promote this podcast, but like decide you guys are going to read the same book.
Right. You obviously you wouldn't do that with someone you had never met. So I get that for the first date.
But
whatever,
maybe if you're 4 dates in.
Yeah.
5 dates in, book club, watch a series. And then come together and be like, hey, listen. Because really what happens is we get this question a lot in relation to like dating and vacations where they're like, I've been on like 5 dates. He or she is going on vacation. I want to keep it up. And by the end of the week-long vacation, they're like, his texts are less, her texts are less. And it's because you have nothing to talk about. You need shared experiences to talk
about.
Watch
a show together.
So let's crack open a season of...
That's what I'm saying. We live
first season of Lost.
Imagine like, I just feel like we're so lucky in a lot of ways to live in a time where you can FaceTime someone. Like you can text someone. Like if this were 20 years ago, what's 20 years? If this were like 25 years ago, like you would, I guess you could call them on like your landline, but you couldn't see anyone. There's no group text.
Sure.
You had to like only speak to one person at a time. It's like we have to think about like all the technology at our hands that really makes this experience so much easier.
The fact that you can just go, Marvel movie. Oh, Disney Plus has them all done.
Right.
Like I've watched every, you know, you can find your thing and it's right at your fingertips. So we do have to look at the positivity.
Yeah, you can connect with anyone in the world that you want to connect with still,
very
just
nice.
Not in person.
What do you think of the breakups?
We have questions about that too. Well, I said, would you ever consider having a first date over FaceTime? I asked that.
I would have a first meeting. I wouldn't call that a first date. Like, some people are like, is it even worth it to be on the dating apps? Yeah, it's worth it because it's something to do. I think it's also worth it to be on those dating apps and be able to, like, stop talking to people. Practice the practice of having standards.
Right.
Hey, I don't
narrow
like,
down your pool, like
yeah,
Dr. Fisher said.
Yeah. So, like, why not talk to someone and go, this is a fine conversation, but now there's no pressure to, like, because what happens in dating app conversations, it goes, You have your banter, and then it's like now we're at the edge of the cliff where we have to go on a date or it's awkward. And that's why a lot of these things is like, hello, where'd you go? And it's like they decide they don't want to go on a date with you. Now there's no real like edge of the cliff. You can't go on a date.
Right. Now you can also like invest. Maybe it'll force you to invest more in the people that you're already speaking to because you're not going out and meeting a ton
Absolutely.
Of new people. So 30% of people said they would do a FaceTime date. 70% of people said that's weird.
I think that's changing. Times these are changing. Yeah. This is 20 hours ago. That's crazy.
I said, if you're single, are you more or less active on dating apps now? 40% said more, 60% said less.
I don't know if that's changing. I think people are going, what's the point?
I guess. Well, if you're on ship, your friends could be there on with you, and then you can socially connect with your friends yeah. while you're finding matches for each other. I think ship is going to be a big one for this time.
This is a good time to be on ship. Mm-hmm. I think the DM slides are going to be bigger.
Because, sexting.
Well, because a lot of people, they're going to go, I've been looking at this person, why not take a shot? I think, like, right now, people are reevaluating. Like, so, I said this before, but I do believe this. Right now, people are put face-to-face with their own lives. So, as a comedian, it's scary because I've had to cancel. I canceled a whole weekend in Boston. I canceled my New York City shows. Not canceled. They've all been pushed back.
Postponed, right.
Postponed. Boston.
The month of October is going to have back-to-back events every single night.
It's going to be a lot to do. Yeah. But Boston has been pushed back to November. New York has been pushed back to October. And, you know, we're contract workers. I don't make money. I don't eat. You know, I only eat what I kill. So, I, you know, I'm very lucky to have this podcast. This is, you know, to have my podcast that are all like generating some funds for me, and you know, you have savings. But there's a lot of comedians.
It's where scary.
Scary. And you know, bar workers and entertainers in general, where the dream ended this week for them. I do believe that.
Yeah.
And maybe me. You know, like there's, you know, you have to include yourself. The dream might have ended. For other people, I do, but also life is gravity. Mm-hmm. The dream has also begun for people. There's people sitting at home going, dude, I'm living in a world where a coronavirus could come any day now. I'm doing comedy. I'm doing my art. Right. I'm starting that blog. I'm starting that podcast. I remember 2007, I worked in finance. I remember starting comedy in 2010 and thinking, this is financial downturn related. I had less to lose.
Right.
I'm looking at people's eyes and they're going, I don't know, I go to work and I hope my 401k doesn't go away. So like there's a lot of people looking in the mirror going and reevaluating their lives. And that's why you're sitting at home and you might have gotten dumped in the last few days. That's why. Because someone looked in the mirror and they go, and it's like I've always said, beware vacations, birthdays, and beware vacations.
And coronavirus.
Birthdays and pandemics.
Yes.
Because that's going to be, because I've
also you evaluate your life. It's like it's like when someone dies and you're just like,
will it be harder to get out of this relationship after 2 weeks quarantine or before?
I'm trying to think if I'd prefer to be like broken up with. It's kind of nice if you're broken up with in the midst of this thing, because then you can just kind of like cry alone in your apartment and you have that time to your space.
I think they did you a favor.
Yeah.
You would hate to get done with this after spending a month inside with someone being like, why are they acting weird?
Anxiously having to figure out all their, you know, everything they're doing. So I had another question. I said, are you judging potential dates by how seriously they're taking the social distancing? So if you like, if you're sort of kind of dating someone and you see that they're like out at a bar, or you saw that they're out at a bar on Saturday night, are you like,
what now, was the, yeah, like last Saturday, if they were out, were you like, I can't be with someone like that?
Right. So 36% said, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And 64% said, yes, it's important.
That's interesting. That was so important a day ago. It's even more important now because...
Right. I mean, now if you're at a bar, everyone's just like...
What are you doing?
What are you... Right?
I mean, there's, you know,
But it's so funny, like you were saying, like how quickly that changes. Like everyone's so judgmental. Everyone's like so carefree until they're the judgmental ones. It's like seems like a very quick switch.
It's a quick switch. I think you and I are a lot alike where we err on the side of like empathy over judgment and like, mm-hmm. You know, there's people listening to this thinking that we're wrong for being here right now.
Right. And in some ways we might be.
I guess so. We're being as careful as possible. We're staying 6 feet apart. We're also, you know, using gloves and going on, you know, and staying away from people and covering our mouths and all that stuff. And like, we also didn't, I came down here. I saw one person on the way down here. I didn't I came in contact with a single, you know, but then they go, well, it's like, and in the age of social media, you got a lot of Jamila Jamils out there that mm-hmm. are like, you're the bad guy and letting you know that you're evil and they're good. And it's like trying to make sure that they're on the side of, this is again, the movie of life.
Right. Everyone is now like a preacher. You know what
it
I mean? Everyone's
that way.
Now morally superior. I actually feel like the best way to look at this thing is the Tom Hanks way. it's almost like we got to get, not that it's a good thing that he's.
I always look at Tom Hanks during times of trying times.
I mean, he has this.
He's got a good attitude.
He has this like non-alarmist kind of like serious, but also like measured response to things. Like if you looked at his, I've looked at his Instagram a few times. I find it soothing because he's like, listen, we're like, we're both positive. We're getting the help we need. Yeah. And like, you know, like we'll get through it.
Sure. Yeah. My thing is call your dad, call your mom, call your brother. Those are the people that you can speak to and put in change. Mm-hmm. Like if your dad's leaving the house still, give him a call.
Right.
Maybe don't go to social media. Maybe because that's, I think calling your dad, and I'm saying dad in quotes, it could be mom, brother, sister, cousin.
Someone you care about.
Someone,
yeah.
If their phone number isn't in your phone, then maybe it's not your responsibility to talk down to them.
Right.
That's my thing. Like, if you have their number, I give them a call. Hey, I saw that you're out. I saw that you were at the bar hugging people. You know, like that to me is a more, you have a more of a shot at enacting change in the world through that than.
Because that's also how people will change if they're spoken to in a way that doesn't seem like they're being condescended to.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, going on and going, you know, and yelling at Walmart, you know, like I, then there's people that become team Walmart in a weird way and they're like, well, fuck you. I gotta work. You know, like right. It becomes this, you know, you're yelling at straw men and then people take the side of the straw man that doesn't even exist. We've seen this happen. You know, there's this whole idea of cancel culture,
mm-hmm.
that there cancel culture people are always these weird people with, you know, dream catchers in their and burning incense and they're fucking, you know, off the reservation. But we all have that within
us. Woke Twitter.
Yeah, woke Twitter is like this person that is just trying to get people to make everyone right. And it's like, no. Now it's happening, you know,
right.
Neighbor to neighbor.
Now it's like, because there maybe, I don't know what the reason is, but there is a sense of like, if I'm doing this and you're not, then like I'm better and you're fucking it up. So like.
And they might not even be saying that, but it comes off that way. Like there's a lot of buzzwords that everyone can use that makes you sound a lot smarter.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like,
also,
flatten the curve. If I hear like flatten the curve, like I've heard it already.
Yeah.
Like you're not bringing something new to me. Like I've heard
or that
it.
Thing with the matches. It's like, I get it.
I get it. I'm in.
The less you go out, the better.
But the matches thing, like your mom isn't seeing that. You know, so
and
maybe your mom doesn't
matters.
Get it. Yeah, that's who matters. Like
in this
scenario. Do we have more?
I said, would you rather be quarantined alone for 2 weeks or with a person you went on three solid dates with?
And what'd they say?
55% alone, 45% with someone else. I could see that loneliness is like scary.
Three solid dates is not enough for me.
To be
have we fucked?
Weeks. Well, you're going to.
I got to make sure.
Well, this is my favorite one. Would you be offended if the person you were dating but didn't live with didn't want to spend this time with you?
So, like if I looked at Jess
and
I was
like, I'll see you in a month.
yeah, that'd be offensive.
Well, 51% said, yeah, that's rude. And 49% said, no, I understand. Those are probably the people who are on the brink of the last question,
sure.
Which is, the last question is, would you rather, if you were going to break up with someone, if you were thinking about breaking up with someone, would you do it virtually or would you wait and do it in person? So 57% said virtual breakup.
I'm with those people.
43% said wait and do it in person.
Get the fuck out now. If you're in a relationship,
that's a favor.
I would say my thoughts, and I would love to hear yours, Jordana, is if you're in something that's kind of not working, get the fuck out now.
Right.
Now's the time. Now's the time. You have the excuse. It's built in. Hey, we've had a good run, but the world's changing and I've taken stock of my
life.
I'm telling you, I've taken some stock of my life and it doesn't involve being with you.
Right.
And I'm sorry, we're not the match. It's not that you're not a great person. It's just that we're not the match. And now you're out. How good would this quarantine feel after a breakup?
For the person doing the breakup,
oh
amazing.
My God.
For the person getting broken up with, you're like, great. I have no distractions. I can just keep replaying this breakup in my head for the next month. And
well,
I can't even go on a date with anyone else.
If it makes them feel better, now's the time to like prison workouts. You know, you're going to do squats, squat thrust. You're going to get real good shape.
You mean Joe Judice.
Yeah, you're going to get in shape. And listen, the person ending it will probably get in bad shape because they're out celebrating. For them, they're like drinking. So right. in a month, you're going to look great. They're going to look like shit. It's a good, you know.
And you can wish the virus upon them and yeah. you know, channel all your energy into bad vibes on their end.
I don't think a lot of people, here's what happens when you get broken up with. You go, well, how long have you known? And it's like right. at least 2 weeks. So you spent the last 2 weeks stuck in a house with me, hating me?
Right.
I would rather, how long have you known? Well, I've been thinking about this over the last month, and Corona really, like, pushed me over the edge. I would go, all right, at least we separated before,
right.
you know, we, you know, infected each other. You know, like,
yeah.
at least I wasn't living a lie for 2 weeks. I was living, like, because here's the thing about
also, you can spend that time getting over the person, and totally. Then by the time this is over, you'll be like, oh, I'm ready to date.
I'm out there, and what you do, you unsubscribe, because social media right now is one of the only live outlets. That's why we're here doing the show, because we know we can give update, you know, current content that can get you through the next day, mm-hmm. get you through the hour, get you through the walk that you're taking alone. Like, this is the reality.
We're here for you.
We're here, you know? So I think for a lot of people, it's time to look at the positives. And also, like, coronavirus isn't why you broke up.
Right, you would have broken up anyway.
You would have broken up anyways. If anything, a lot of meh relationships occur because there's distraction.
Right.
So they occur because you go to work. I go to work. Oh, I got the gym. Hey, we'll do next week.
This really
Sorry,
forces
I had to cancel.
You to look at it.
This forces you to like be a little more honest with yourself and go, yeah, he canceled 1,000 times because he didn't want to go out. Because I wasn't the priority.
Right.
And you want someone that wants to make you the priority.
I agree. On the standards.
How's your relationship doing
in
quarantine?
I was just about to bring that in. I think it started off a little weird, and now it's like we're in a groove.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
How is it weird?
Because like we're both like working from home. We both like kind of like sort of want your own. Like there's kind of like you have to. I mean, we're definitely in a space where we have a comfortable silence.
Sure.
But it's like sometimes it's a little nice to have to go to work.
Absolutely.
After a day and then come back.
I mean, I've already gotten. All you do is look at your phone. I've already gotten that.
I've already given that.
Yeah. So I think we need to like be okay with silence while looking at each other at our phones.
Right.
I think that's something everyone needs to
get
over.
Well, it's funny because I do feel like we're both like this because there's also all this like new. There's like this influx of news now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
and there's always like some breaking thing that's like some
or some aunt has a friend who posted.
Right.
That's my least favorite post, by the way. The well-written post by just a Facebook friend.
Right.
And it's like, hey, my friend Emilio, who knows Italian people, is reporting to us. And you
right.
go, give me fucking Washington Post. Give me
right.
New York Times.
I don't give a shit about your family friend that's a doctor.
That
in,
heard
right.
through the grapevine. And because they wrote it in a paragraph format, now I'm supposed to sit. And you do. Here's the thing. All this information goes through you. Whether you have to. It goes through you. So you have to like filter it. And it feels bad to filter.
Have you gotten any of the links from people and then you open it and it's the guy with the big penis?
It's my favorite. I want to thank whoever's making those.
The first time I found it annoying.
No,
I was like, I really thought this was true. And then like I got all hyped up and then I clicked it.
And it's a big porn star with a huge cock. And now the joke has turned on itself where they're like, if you've gotten this meme, if you've seen this guy, you've got fucked up friends.
Right.
And then there's the other one where he's wearing the mask, even this guy's trying to. And there was another one where it was like they found out it's in bugs, and then you zoom in, and then it was like zoom in to see this bug, and it's just a big cock on the bug. There's another one where they're in line at the grocery store, and then it's just someone's asshole farting.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
I want to send a sincere thank you to whoever. I've had the best laugh I've had via.
Well, now,
huge cock fake
now outs. In my group chat, whenever someone sends a link, I'm like, I don't know if I'm like in the mood to see this big black penis. Like, could you just tell me if it's the big black penis?
I want to whoever is making those, you're the hero of the coronavirus. I want to thank you.
Where did that start? Who's patient zero for that?
I need to know who that person is. That person should be our king. That should be our elected leader of entertainment from now on.
God.
What if we and what if 6 months from now all of our entertainment is big black cock related?
That guy's the most famous man in America right now.
He's the new fuck Jerry. He's like, you can get my big black cock, Rosé. You can get my big black cock hats.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say day one, I was like, my sister sent it to me. I'm like, this is stupid. And then like now that it's day four and I just keep getting all these fucking like links to shit, now I'm opening it and I'm like, oh, okay, good. This isn't true.
That's right now, you know, there was a point where we got Tyler Cameron on this podcast and it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
He's the biggest podcast get there is. Big black cock guy.
Yes.
Because
if you're listening, we want you on.
We'll call in. We'll do a phone, a Skype. I would do anything to find him and get him on the podcast.
What is his name?
It's
got the most famous penis in America.
Johnny Coxman. I have no idea. I've seen more of his dick than my own at this point. I've seen his dick way more.
I heard of one of my friend of a friend sent the link to his boss without opening it.
Oh, this is perfect. I love that. This is what it's all about. This is why you play the game. I gotta say, anything that can give you levity and get you. And here's the thing:
it's really putting a wedge in that Me Too movement.
I mean, someone got that and was triggered. I gotta say, they were like, "I'm never seeing a cock again." And then they're like, "Hey, Trump has coronavirus." Got me. Fuck.
That's the link I got.
The Trump has coronavirus. It kept getting better and better.
Yeah.
It would be like, Trump has coronavirus. Then it'd be like, Link, your mom is going to die tomorrow. Right. And click this link.
Well, that brings us back to our original conversation, which is like living with someone and you're constantly getting this information. So you're kind of glued to your phone, but the person also, like, if you're not in the same exact zone
mindset. So does Mike think those are funny?
Yeah, he's pretty relaxed about this whole thing. He's very Tom Hanks-ish. We're not going out, we're gonna be safe, but we're not like freaking out. Like,
my parents
are okay.
Could not be more farther removed from the idea of this is a serious situation.
Right.
So we
were saying boomers
are not handling this well. They don't give a shit. They're showing their deficiencies through this whole thing.
Right.
And you see it loud and proud on Facebook. Facebook is just a bunch of aunts doing CNN updates, you know, like breaking news from aunt's Nate, from my aunt's Macintosh Pro.
Right.
Like I kind of like, I call them, and this is the thing, call your dad, call your mom. I call them, I was like, you gotta, like, I'm telling you this, like, it's going to get, you know, you need to get serious, get real. Like, this is, and then my mom just texts me, and she's like, I'm scared! You know, like, she's immediately off the reservation, you know, until I told her, I'm the fucking CDC. Like, you know.
Right.
It is nice, though, to be on the same wavelength as the person you're sitting with.
Yeah.
Like, Jess and I have laughed at Big Black Cock maybe a thousand times.
Yeah, you're showing each other some memes. Memes and funny tweets are really, like, the way to get through this.
I mean, someone put up a meme that was, like, everyone going crazy. Then it was, like, the Titanic people playing the violiners, and they're, like, the meme memers.
Right now.
It's true a little bit. You know, it's these are trying times. We're trying to give you an uplifting podcast, something to get you out of your head. Because your mind, and I've always said this about podcasts, the great thing about them is that they bring you you put your brain on the shelf and you let us do the talking and thinking.
Yeah.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Let's do some emails. If you guys want, just so you know, throughout this whole thing, we'll be doing a lot more like social content. If you look at Jared's Instagram, my Instagram, yeah, and the U Up Pod Instagram, we might do some, maybe you'll do a takeover. I'll do a takeover one day. We'll answer some questions. We got time.
Let's do a ton of stuff. Like I'm up for, like, listen, as far as incentives go, our incentives are to create more listeners out of this. If we weren't like hoping for the coronavirus so we could get more listeners, but we're going to pivot.
Yeah.
We're going to find a way to put out more content that you guys will enjoy, that you can say to your friend, hey, these guys are having fun with it because there's really nothing else for us to do.
Right.
Our job isn't to give you knowledgeable reporting, advice about
medical issues. But we
know nothing.
Yes. We're here to make you feel a little better, a little lighter, have a laugh.
Put your brain on the shelf. Yeah. Let us talk about the inconsequential things of life like we always have. UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. You want to read this?
Why don't you read? We're gonna do awkward sex. I prefer when you read the awkward sex because I feel I'm very prudish.
Love the podcast. I've turned several friends onto it, and we love commiserating with all people who write in. Want to share a dating story that hopefully will give you a laugh. This was a few years ago in my early 20s in NYC. I was pretty new to the online dating game, have just gotten out of a long-distance relationship. I was on a third date with a guy, and yes, I was planning on following the first date, second date, third date, fuck timeline.
And yes, before you even ask, should we make a shirt that says first date, second date, third date, fuck?
Absolutely. A hat?
Can you imagine showing up on a date and the person is wearing that? On the third date.
What a message you're sending. And that's like the guy who wore the shirt that was like, ride fast, lick ass or something.
Yeah, ride fast, eat ass. Do you ever see those those shot glasses in the souvenir store that's like with the tequila?
First, like, one tequila, two right, tequila, three floor, tequila, floor. Yeah.
Like that.
Those beach shirts really got under the radar of social movements. I don't know if you've been to a boardwalk.
They were making those jokes right before anyone was making those terrible jokes.
But even through it, I saw it at a beach shop like in San Diego. It was like, get over here, whore. And you're like, this is still allowed?
Right. In like, public?
Nobody canceled this store? We were having a good time and had ordered a pitcher of sangria with dinner. Only halfway through the dinner, it was all gone, and I realized I had only drank a glass. He seemed okay, so I figured I just had good tolerance. We got back to my place and started making out, but I could tell the booze was really hitting him. We hadn't even really undressed when he admitted that he drank too much and had whiskey dick. Or sangria dick. Sangria dick sounds so much more fun.
Right.
Whiskey dick sounds serious.
It sounds
serious.
Cultural.
Yeah.
Right.
I got the whiskey dick. It's like, ugh, get away from me. Ooh, is that some sangria dick? Ooh, like it. I told him it was totally fine. Got him some water. He was so upset he decided he wanted to leave. So I walked him to the door, at which point he spontaneously turned around all excited, exclaimed, I'm hard now. Eureka!
I got it.
I've done it. I've had that situation where you go to the bathroom and it's like you guys need a fire made and you go to the bathroom with two sticks. You're just trying to whittle a boner.
you're on the Survivor and it's the fire up, yes, making fire episode.
Yes. And you're like, I can do it. If I can just make it happen.
Fire.
Yeah. If I can just make it happen. Pulled down his, he exclaimed, "I'm hard now." Pulled down his pants. This wasn't even the weirdest part. When I looked down, he already had a condom on. I could not see more eye to eye with this dude. Literally, when did he put that on, and how long did it had it been pre-wrapped? Since dinner? I was so weirded out, I told him goodnight and sent him home. To this day, I try and play the night in my head and figure out when he could possibly have put it on, and I'm truly stumped. He was clothed the whole time. Hope you got as much of a laugh out as my roommate did the next morning. What do you... I know what happened.
I have no idea what happened.
He went to the bathroom, and he tried to make a boner. I've done
this.
And
then he put a condom on as he was leaving?
Basically, when you're whiskey dick, sangria dick, you're like... trying to whittle it out. You're doing anything you can. You're just sitting. Just imagine.
The tribe has spoken.
Just imagine that guy in Survivor sitting on the rock, right. Like taking his hands and twisting the stick on the rock.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing with his penis in the bathroom. So he's like, okay, well, maybe if I get a boner going and I put the condom on, and it'll cut off circulation and we'll keep it hard. Like, that's what he's thinking.
Is cutting off the circulation a
thing?
I don't
know if this works. We're all just trying shit out of our fucking ass.
Okay.
So he's like, I'll put on the condom. So he went to the bathroom. He was like, he took down his pants. He peed. He's like, maybe if I pee, it'll help a boner. Pees. Then it doesn't get a boner. He's going, fuck. What am I going to do? Starts playing with himself. So then he gets to like 60%.
Wow, you really...
I'm helping
we're
the
really
listeners.
Getting the, yeah, we're really
I'm
getting
in there.
I'm giving
the play-by-play. Yeah.
Play. Yeah, no, that's what they
want to
hear. This is the content they need.
This is the quarantine content you wanted.
Yes.
So he gets to like 60% bone, okay? Which means he's like 1/16th of Big Black Cock Guy. Okay. If we want to compare.
Yeah.
And then he puts the condom on real quick, hoping that the blood he forced to his cock will stay there with the now tightened condom on it. And when that didn't... So he came out. They tried to make out again.
Okay.
He realized that ain't working. His fucking... the sticks he used to make his lean-to out in the woods wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
So then he goes to the door like, fuck. And then all of a sudden they kiss and he goes, I'm hard! And... pulls down his pants. He's like, let's do this quick because this might go away soon.
This is the first time they're having sex.
This is the first time. Listen, it is consensual at this point. So it's not like this isn't
she wanted to do it.
Sure. I mean, it's funny that like this could be explained. Like Louis C.K. is hearing this going, yeah, that was me too. Like, that's what I was trying to do. Like, no, no, no.
Right.
These are two different things. Like, I can understand how this could go down the road of someone going like, you can't just pull your dick out. And it's like, well, they were in bed. You know, like, this is his thought process.
Right. He's like, I got it. Is it? But it's funny.
You wanted
I think
it to happen.
That
now I've got it.
Men think that women are able to switch in and out that quick.
Well,
that's
right.
You guys are. I think that's. To give any men listening any advice, I think for us, and not all the time, obviously, I don't want to speak for everyone, but often it's a lot more of a like easing into an emotional, it's very mindset kind of thing. So if he's like, I'm hard, he pulls down his pants, he's got a condom on his erect penis as you thought he was leaving. That's we're usually
just looks like a sad balloon animal that just didn't happen.
Yeah, that usually like isn't doing it for us.
No, well,
it might be better to just wait.
His thought process is, we were making out in the bed, so I did do all the stuff. Now, you know, I agree.
Right.
What you're saying is totally correct. His thought process is like, oh, we did all that stuff, so now it's cock time.
Right.
So he's like, I got it, let's do it. Right. And it's like, no, no, no. What he doesn't understand is like, no, I'm back at base camp.
Yeah, it doesn't exist in a vacuum.
No, yeah.
Right.
It's like, this isn't, like, I'm not, I've already hiked down the mountain.
What would you call this?
Oh, the sad balloon animal seems
like
fun
that.
To me. Do you have any names?
I don't know. It's
pre-wrap, yeah. Reynolds wrap. Ronald's wrap.
Surprise.
Surprise.
I'm hard.
I'm hard now. Ding, 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 ding. Call it that.
I don't think this would be a deal breaker for me, but I do think I think the sex, I would be like, let's try this a different time.
Yeah, I think... I understand that. Mm-hmm. I think he understands that. Like, even in the moment, he's like, one more shot.
Right.
And
it was his penis talking.
Yeah,
his penis was
penis,
like, don't give up. We got this. Don't give up.
Give it one more shot. Come on.
I'm there.
Penis is at the wheel. I would say
the penis is like, pull down the pants, pull down the pants, and he's like,
yeah,
had to realize no, that wasn't the best move.
I'm trying to think of the other way around. Like if a woman did this, was like, I'm wet now. Like right. I'd be like, yeah, okay. Like right. It would have happened that night.
Oh well, yeah, but for you, because you're like, but also ready to go at all times.
Yeah, but I also think that like I think for me my thought process was always if they're at the door because they're feeling drunk, they're like, okay, just go. Like, you know, we'll do this another time when cooler heads prevail. I'm not trying to be a hero here, but I was always like, if they're at that point where they're like, I can't get wet. You know, like a guy drunk in that scenario just feels less out of his wits. Does that make sense? I don't know if that's
fair. What
do you
mean, fair. Out of his wits?
Like, if a woman went from, I'm too drunk to have sex, I'm dry, it'll never happen, and then went to the bathroom and then came out and was like, I'm wet now, I'd be like, you're too drunk for this experience.
Right.
A guy does it, and I'm like,
let's revisit
another time. Yeah. If a guy does it, you're like, you're too drunk in general, but I could see a woman having sex in that scenario and not feeling as weird as I would feel.
Right. Well, it seems less predatory.
A lot less. Yeah. That's kind of what I mean. Guy would be
like, well, you took advantage of me.
I mean, most of the time. Even though that happens.
Yeah, that does.
You know, so, I agree with you.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
All right, let's do some emails.
UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com.
Hey, Jays. Love the podcast.
Hi.
You guys make spending 2 hours in the car each day way more fun than it should be. I've heard you touch on this briefly before, but I'm curious to hear your opinion on the idea of the distraction. I've been on the apps for the last year or so, and a few months ago, I met a guy who I enjoy hanging out with, but it was pretty clear that we wanted different things and weren't a long-term match. It quickly went from dating to hooking up maybe once every other week. At the same time, I'm still dating other guys and looking for someone who is the right fit for me. We've discussed this, and I believe we're on the same page. My question is, do you think having this guy as a hookup is distracting me from being all in, to use a much beloved bachelor cliche? or trying as hard with something new. I feel very confident that I don't have any feelings towards him, and never think about it turning into something other than what it is. But do you think I'm doing myself a disservice by keeping this guy around as a sort of backup? Thanks, and can't wait to hear what you think.
Not to relate everything to coronavirus, but that's like the background of our lives right now. So you have to like admit to that. Like, right. Well, now's the time to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I think that anything that you know is like not really going to be like serving you long term is something to is not worth investing in. I don't want to speak for all women. I don't think that like I think you can definitely like enjoy sex emotion free, sure. But I just don't think it's as good. And I think a lot of the women that I speak to feel that sentiment too.
Well, let's say best case scenario. I mean, in this situation.
Right.
Best case scenario, let's take her at her word. She has no feelings. This is purely just
best
sex.
Best case, okay.
This is best case scenario for her emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, the time spent going to his apartment, not going to his apartment, I find, and then texting and making a plan, there's finite amount of time. There's finite amount of brain space.
I agree.
There's finite amount of energy. And, you know, I think when you have someone in your world that's, you know, that's basically a person to use to masturbate with.
Right. I mean, you could do, that's what I'm saying. You could sexually just get off by yourself.
Yeah. So, like, you can get a dildo. You can get a vibrator. You could, you know, get the rabbit. Go get the vacuum thing. Whatever that thing for you is, that, to me, like, I mean, I relate a lot of things to, like, I look back on why things happen for me as far as like business is concerned. The only reason I started live tweeting the I do the Bachelor Scream, okay?
Right.
I yell at the Bachelor on TV. I love doing it. I didn't just make that decision one night. That was, you know, years ago. I'm sick and at home and not doing any shows, and my brother and I are sitting on the couch. And I'm like, look, The Bachelor, and I tweet about it. And then I see that that tweet does better than any other one. And I'm like, oh, I start tweeting more, and I start tweeting more. Then I start, you know, then I start doing it as like, oh, let me, I'll live tweet it anytime I don't have shows. Then I'm canceling shows for it.
Right.
You know?
So you're saying if you were spending time doing something.
If I had said to myself, oh, I'm going to go out tonight, and or I'm going to go, you know, I'm not going to keep myself busy otherwise. So I think like. You know, when you make yourself sit alone in your thoughts is when you start to pivot.
Right.
I'm doing J Train podcast daily now because
that's when
people
you're most creative.
That's when you're most creative. Yeah. When the darkness settles in, there's no one else there. So I think for her, she's saying she's getting some comfort, like she's getting some emotional crutch out of this. But sometimes when you remove the crutch, you walk better.
Right. Well, it's funny. I don't really listen to that many podcasts, if I'm being totally honest, but I listened to Armchair Expert because he had a guest on and someone suggested it. Someone emailed ruup@badges.com and said to listen to this guy, and his name is Brett Weinstein.
Okay.
He was on Armchair Expert, and he's basically like an evolutionary, he like looks into like evolution and how like it relates to sex. And he was saying that like, to the extent that it gets in the way of meeting the person, I wrote some notes down about it, that to the extent that having like random sex or non sex that doesn't relate to like a long-term monogamous relationship gets in the way of meeting the person that you're meant to reproduce with, that you should probably get away from it.
Really?
It's a very interesting episode. I mean, we should talk about it. We could probably spend a whole episode talking about it.
And he was, what was his
His thing is that, like, so men and women both, you can have sex just for pleasure, right? For women, there's higher stakes to that. And historically, there have always been higher stakes to that because you could get pregnant. And there was another really interesting thing he said, that men are more likely to invest. There's this concept called the mother's brother's concept.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man is less than 50% sure that whatever child is, like, someone has is his, he's more likely to invest in his sister's children because he knows that they're blood related to him in the extent that your their whole thing is to pass on your genes and reproduce.
Sure.
And because women can only have like a maximum, like literally this would be like if you had multiple twins and had a baby every year of your life, you could have 60 kids.
Okay.
And men could potentially have thousands.
Yeah.
So every like low stake sexual encounter for a man is just kind of like a discount of spreading his seed.
Interesting.
And for women, it's just not the same, which is why there's like this biological difference. Mm-hmm.
Like, you only like, get 60.
Right. That's why it's, like, less fulfilling for women to have low-stake sex, because it's just, like, it doesn't do anything for them in this
Your
biological...
Your goals are different right. than the guy's goals.
Right. And to the extent that... I think to the extent that you're kind of trying to, like, you think that that's what men want, and you might do it because you think that's what will make you more attractive to a man or more make him more attracted to you, it actually like has the opposite effect, because while a woman has sex and she's thinking like, how can I make this into a longer term thing? How do I, you know, get someone to commit to raising whatever, potentially this child with me or down the line this child with me? A man has that mindset, and that's a strong, powerful thing for him too, is like, who can I invest with? Who can I have these kids with? But there's also, but unlike women, he also has another mindset, which is less conscious, which is like, I'm getting this sex at a discount.
Yeah.
And like, when you have sex with someone too quickly, that might register in their head as like discounted sex.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And I like, you can't, you know, these are all based on, you know, like it's an emotional thing.
Right.
You know, so like, and there is that person that stands up that you can't disagree with that goes, well, I like sex too.
No, and that's like, right. He talks about that too, where it's like, yeah, of course there are people, no one's saying that you shouldn't do that or you don't have the right to do that, but...
I think that person hurts the conversation.
Right.
I think that person is saying, well, I'm an outlier. Okay, well, then this conversation... Be the outlier.
Yeah, that doesn't apply to you.
But also understand you're the outlier and don't try and take over the conversation.
Right.
You know,
it's
like,
totally like, oh, no one's to say like it's wrong to do that or this is the way it should be.
Yeah.
But what his argument is like, biologically speaking, that's just kind of the way it is. And like, the more partners that you would have in a low stakes way as a woman, the less likely each man that you're with
sure.
would be able to know that the child was his.
Well, also a lot of women like will write in here and write into the show and be like, hey, he keeps saying, like, making future... We've had people write in, like, oh, he keeps making future plans with me. Why would he say we should go on vacation? We should. It's because sex becomes less fun when you take the curtains back on it.
Right.
When you take the curtains... If he was like, we should have sex once and never speak again, you go, I don't know. I want to have sex with a guy that, like, I'm imagining our Italian villa.
Right.
You know? Like, it's just a different...
Yeah, and I mean, there's a reason that is the case, and I think a lot of it is biological, and that's not to say that women don't enjoy sex or can't enjoy sex or can't have casual sex and enjoy it. I don't think anyone's saying that, but
I think like for her, where it's like, yeah, if you want to have sex one more time, if you go back to him, like every time you go back to this guy that she writes in about, it's not like you're like losing out of your life, but... Just know there's other things like
there's other people you could be meeting. There's other things that you could be doing.
And discomfort creates, you know, nobody loses weight until their pants don't fit.
Right. And I also just think like it's very hard to not get emotionally invested in someone that you're sleeping with. There is a chemical thing.
Yeah. Let's do some more emails. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Love the podcast. Got my friends into it after I dragged them to one of your, dragged them with me to San Francisco live show last year. You guys also helped my morning commute in the Bay make it more bearable. So let me just get to it. Okay. Met a guy on Bumble. First week of the year. Hit it off right away. After our first date, we haven't stopped texting each other every day from good morning to good night text, which didn't bother either of us at all. We go out twice a week, every single week since then too. We even went as far as to go to a trip, mini Valentine's weekend at Tahoe last month. After that trip, he introduced me to his family and even went to events together with the team. Last week, he started acting differently in text, and he even admitted to me that he's been off and texting less. I asked him if it was me or if he felt differently towards me that it's causing it. He repeatedly told me that this isn't anything or I did or didn't do, and that he feels the same towards me, and that he's just feeling down in depression for reasons he doesn't even know and can't explain. We never talked about being exclusive, so I asked him that last Thursday if he found someone and just feels stronger connection towards them. He had denied this and said he would tell me if it felt differently towards me, and he doesn't think or feel like he would. He canceled on a date this Saturday, saying he needed to do some errands and hit me with these texts on Sunday.
So to do a recap, she meets this guy on Bumble.
Yeah.
They have a good first date. They text all the time.
Mini Tahoe trip.
They go out twice
trip.
A week. Mini Tahoe trip. Last week, he starts acting weird. She wants to confront him, right? Is that the general gist?
She wants to know what's up. He cancels a date. Now this is the text on the Tuesday after the Saturday date cancellation.
Okay, so this is you be him and I'll be her.
Hey, it's not fair to you to keep you at a distance like this. I just need space. Hope we can keep things positive between us because you're a good person and have been nothing but good to me. Just now I need space away. Wish you the best for everything.
Yeah, I get that. It seems like you need to go away and you need to be alone to figure out what you want. I want your happiness more than anything in the world. I feel like you need to go and be alone to figure out what you want, and I hope that I'm still there when you're ready. But till then, I know that I need someone who is.
I respect that and respect you. Hope we can both be on good terms. Till then, hope we can find out what is best for us.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question just so that I'm not left wondering?
This is the moment where he's like, oh, here we go. Fuck. He thought he was
he's
out.
He's like, oh, great. I did that. And then she's
whoa,
like,
that
nope.
was easy. Yeah, no. She was cool with the vague version.
This is the equivalent of, I think for like to turn it on men and women, I feel like if the girl was like, I'm not having sex with you tonight. And he's like, oh, yeah, of course. Totally. And then they're like sleeping. And then he's like, can I ask you a question?
Can I ask you one thing?
Yeah.
No, his penis gets hard and like knocks into her back.
Right. Like, knock, knock.
I'm actually not sure
I'm okay with that.
I can feel the anxiety in his yeah.
He goes, yeah.
Yeah. Can I just ask you something? Yeah.
Did you want me to give you space and wait for you? Because if you did, while letting me know that you feel the same towards me and it's just you feeling differently towards everything, I would. Or did you want to just end dating because you don't feel the same towards me anymore?
Yeah, I definitely like you, so we could def do that. But at the same, I'm reading this.
You're reading this so douchey.
In the way that she doesn't want to read this.
You're reading it so douchey.
She's reading it. Yeah, I def like you. Like I keep taking out her name. So I def like you. So we could definitely do that at the same. But he's really writing it like this. Yeah, I def like you, so we could def do that, but at the same time, I don't want to make you wait for me. It's not fair to you. Live your life. Go. Run away. Live your life, and if you're free whenever I'm better, then we can try to make it
whenever
work.
Whenever I'm better.
It's not like
he's COVID.
Is he COVID positive? As of right now, I don't want to date anyone. I just want to focus on myself. Thanks for being so understanding.
And then she says, okay, I understand, you're welcome, blah, blah, blah. Okay, she has another question after this, just based on this. Mm-hmm. She wants to know our take on this. Do we think he's coming back? Is this just an excuse when guys want to leave but don't want to be a dick? Mm-hmm. I feel like he really liked me and he wouldn't feel it's easy to let me go just like that. But at the same time, I really felt his sincerity when I asked him this in person about this topic. Can we just... Just to all the people listening, can we stop pretending that we want people who are breaking up with us to be happy? She goes, the part where she's like, I just want your happiness more than anything in the world.
No. And she's talking to him as if he's come down. Like, we make the COVID-19 joke because it does sound like he's come down with a disease and he has to stay away from society for years and years.
Right.
Because that's the way she's making it sound. Yeah, I mean, we can all agree that the worst part of 2020 relationships is that you do get more options. You don't have societal pressures to stay with people that you're kind of okay with. So there's really a lot more breakups with people you don't hate.
Right.
It would almost be better if, for her, if she caught him fucking someone else in her bed.
Right, or she found out he, like, had a girlfriend.
Had a girlfriend, whatever, because then she could go, good guy isn't good guy.
Evil guy.
Good guy is now evil guy. Evil guy didn't like me enough to be, you know...
Right.
with me.
This, the door is
goodbye, evil guy.
In her mind, the door is still kind of open for this mm-hmm. for him,
and it's not.
Right,
it's not.
He's just. This is honestly like.
But what can he say?
Right, so I'm saying I actually do feel like she's at fault here for really not reading between the lines and having a little self-awareness of the fact that he is saying this. If he really wanted to date her, he would. Correct?
It would almost be better if he put some numbers behind this. Like, I know no one wants to send this text, but like the best version of this text would be, I don't want to be in a, like if he wrote, as of right now, I don't want to date anyone. I just want to focus on myself. And he wrote, live your life. And if you're free when I'm better, and then we can try to make it work. Okay. Live your life. And if you're free when I'm better, which there's a 2% chance of happening. Like if he said the percentages, it would almost be better for her. So if he was like, as of right now, I don't want to date anyone.
Yeah.
I just want to focus on myself. If down the road, which has a 2% chance of happening. Like, it's kind of like when people, you know, were like, well, everyone's like worried about how many people
kills.
Numbers. I just need the numbers.
So, how many cases?
If this guy came at you with some CDC information, if he was like, hey, I really like you and I need to focus on myself. People who have also been in this situation have gotten back together 6 months later, 1.5% of the time.
If you choose to believe in that one, wait for me.
Yeah, if you want to wait for that 1.5%, I'm giving you the numbers to do with them as you will.
Right.
And that's where
then she can make a really
an informed decision. But those numbers are being said without being said. She's just not hearing them.
Right. She's not reading between the lines. Because she's also now coming back and she's saying, do you want to renegotiate this contract for it to be like I'm expecting less, I'm like giving you more leeway and you'll still be into it? And he's like, no.
Goodbye.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. She's trying to like renegotiate.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm just ending the contract.
So many people do this on the end. They'll go, so the negotiation metaphor, I come to you and I go, I think this has gotten too serious. I don't want to be in a relationship anymore. Then you come back to me and you go, well, what if we just did once a week?
Right. And what if we made it like
we go slower.
It's more casual.
And then I go, no. I'm like actually like totally out. And then you go, well, what if you spit on me once a month? And it's like, you know, like, and it's like, that's what she's doing. She's scrambling to get.
Right.
And it's like, at this point, believe the breakup. Not the backup.
Also, believe in yourself that you can find someone who likes
fine.
You,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who likes you more than enough to like not have to like take the scraps of whatever affection and love they're trying to give you. Like, believe in yourself that you could find a better match than this guy who's kind of like not that into you. And I get why it's so hard. I do understand, because she writes in the email that, you know, he took her. They went on this mini trip. They're mm-hmm. talking all this time, and in her head, she's like, this is a real thing. And then it's such a decrease in the expectations she had for this was that it was going to be a real relationship. And now she's kind of like, what did I do?
Here's the thing. Here's my advice to her. And this is the problem with the no reason breakup
mm-hmm.
is that you go, well, things were great. I must have done something wrong. And it's like, no. Takes two to tango. Two people at this point, he's not willing to open up his brain to the next level of a relationship. And that is a big thing to open up your brain to.
Right.
Like so announcement time. I'm moving in with Jess. We're moving
the
in
angels
together.
Angels are
That's
singing.
Right. Well,
everyone is so proud of you collectively.
You. Well, this is the thing. With a mostly female audience, you guys are like, woo! When I told my guy friends, I told one guy and he goes, you had a good run. That was his response.
What does that even mean?
You had a good run.
Without getting the emotional and fulfilling lifetime intimacy of having a live-in partner.
But this is the difference. Men are not cheered along into the next space of life.
But are they like discouraged?
Not discouraged, just not cheered. And it's your decision.
That's kind of like us in our fucking careers.
Yeah, it's our career.
It's like, oh, you're going to make partner?
All right.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah.
I guess it, they won't have time for the kids anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a. That sounds
like. Yeah. You know, right.
A lot it's of time like, at work now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to get a sitter.
That's what I'm saying. It's yeah. like, it's a similar notion.
So this idea is like when, you know, where, you know, this guy sitting there going, do I want to make the next step? And he decided against it. And when you make the next step, you have to give, and like, listen, for me, it's been amazing. I love every second of it. And I'm not just saying that. But
do you live together yet?
No, but I'm saying opening my mind up to the next level of the relationship. Okay. Me going from, yeah, this girl and I are just fucking, or this girl and I are just together, or this girl and I is my girlfriend, to let's talk about moving in. Like, that's right. like a real, you know, jump for me and yeah, a lot of guys.
A lot of guys, yeah.
So for this guy, you know, he decided against the jump. And it's not about you. It's about him deciding against a life move.
Right. And in a lot of ways, he's doing you a favor by deciding that not right before the move in.
Exactly.
But before it even gets to that he's wasting less of your time yes. than like.
Well, that's what his response would be. That's why he keeps saying, like, I want you to go free. Go free, run.
That's
you know,
not
like,
really what he gives a shit about. I'm sure he gives a shit about not having to be like answering to this person that he's now kind of feeling a little lukewarm about.
Well, no, I would.
Do you think
disagree.
He really like wants to nothing let her run free?
Nothing felt better to me than someone that I was like pretty serious with. After that ended, them finding someone else. Like I would like be like
that's
I'd see
nice.
On social media
you
and
like
I would
that.
Go, absolutely. I would go, okay, good. I didn't ruin their life. I didn't waste their time out of having that kid or that relationship
that's
or that
really
wedding.
Interesting. I've never felt anything remotely similar to that.
Oh my god, I see exes
even
with
guys
someone new.
That I've broken up with. I'm kind of like. And then, especially if they've gotten into like relationships while I've been single, I've never
yeah, you guys
felt,
are fucked up.
No,
you guys are
I've
fucked up.
I've never felt like super. I've been like,
oh my God.
I'd be like, oh shit, did I like let go of a guy who like could commit and this girl's happy with him?
But that's
and, like,
that's what's fucked up yeah. about that. You right. let go of a guy who could commit, not the right guy.
Well, yeah. Well, but then you don't remember all. That's why people get back together with their exes so much. Is it's like you don't necessarily remember. All the things, the feeling that you had of like not being that into them.
Yeah.
When you're seeing them with someone else, for me at least.
Yeah, I completely see differently than that. Like I see.
Well, it's nice that men are feeling that way.
Well, I was on a run where like 9 different exes of mine, the next guy they dated, they married. Like I had like quite a run going.
Right.
And I would see those people and I'd be like. Good for them.
Well, here's
I'm happy they found what they were looking for. And I also felt kind of right where it's like, where I was like, oh, it could have been like if I had just gone along, maybe that would have been me.
I don't think women feel that way. I have friends who broke up with ex-boyfriends of theirs and they're kind of like, they're not happy that they're alone, but they're kind of like this person. I do think women try to change men a lot.
I think
so.
Yeah.
If they wind up breaking up with a guy, it's because they really just can't get them to be who they like really want them to be.
Yeah.
And then to see them with someone else seemingly happy, it's kind of like
that person had the key.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's the annoying part.
But
I think that when with men, it's usually not the same. It's usually not that they really want a woman to change and they can't get her to change.
Yeah, we don't look at it as like, oh, I didn't figure that out.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of women look at a guy and go, well, what key combination did they know that I didn't know?
Right.
And it's not that way. Like, there's nothing just...
Or even, like, why couldn't they be that person for me? Like, that why couldn't they, like... Because we'll we look at social media and we'll be like, oh, like, he's
he'll
going
do a picture
rock climbing
with her.
With
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
He was never planning fucking activities with me.
No, well, that's the thing. You know, I get asked a lot, like, why, you know, why is this relationship different? You know, you get the 4 questions.
What says the simple son?
Yeah, I'm the simple idiot son. And I will say, you know, some of it's romantic and some of it's practical.
Yeah.
You know, like, some of it is... That I enjoy laughing with her at Big Black Cock. Me.
Right.
You know, some of it is that. Some of it is, you know, the things we care about align. Some of it is I was more ready to be in a relationship now than I was before.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and it's percentages of all those things. Some of them aren't fun to talk about. Like, you know, like Jess, we're moving in and she's like mad at me for not being as excited as she is. I'm excited. I just show it in a different way.
Well, that, yeah, I've gotten into that exact same argument with my boyfriend before we moved in together, where we're talking about it and I'm like, where's the enthusiasm?
And it's, well, then,
but it's like,
that's not how guys, you know, operate, or how I operate, where it's like, I said to her, I go, I'm not excited for jaw surgery. I'm excited for my new jaw. You know, right. Like, I'm not excited to go through all the pain. And I'm like, I got to move out. I got tenants. I got movers. I got to do cleanup. I got to paint. I got a hole in my ceiling that I got to fix. And then when my tootsies are sitting in that new bed, I'll go, isn't this amazing? Right. But not until then. Well, and it's like, yeah, women, you know, you guys, you know, whereas like, I think that's a very male thing, where like male are like, you know, it's a, I want to fix this thing. I want to finish the job. Yeah. I want to, the goal is in front of us, not behind us. To maybe a lot of women, the goal is behind you when the guy says, let's move in.
Well, then you've got like the okay to go, and then you'll figure it all else like out on the way.
Love
like,
will take us away.
I mean, it's funny that I read that book a while ago, Made in Captivity.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how like there's a lot of emphasis on in our society on like words, and like if you're like, if you, the way that a lot of women think that like that's the best way to communicate is verbally. Mm-hmm. So like you're not saying that you're excited all the time, or show, or just talking about all the time, or talking about how excited you are. Like, we put an overemphasis on words as like a way to display any kind of communication. Sure. Whereas I think a lot of the times for men, it's a lot more action oriented. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more, they think they're communicating more in the way that they're like doing things rather than like screaming them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm like to Mike, like, oh, I wish that you would just like be more passionate or be more excited. And he's like, well, I feel like I do all these, I like do every day, I'll do this thing.
Yeah.
For you, which to me is how I'm telling you that like I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what I mean. And it's tough, because then you're like, now you're screaming at someone going, I'm excited. And it's like,
right. And it's like, well, I don't want it that way.
Yeah. And now it's not getting delivered the right way. And so yeah. I was like, what do you want me to do? Like turn into the fucking red dress emoji?
Right.
You know, every time someone, oh, hey.
Yeah. Like, and then you have to remind yourself that it's less about, that relationships are really less about what you say and more about what you do.
Oh my God.
Which is a hard thing to remember, because sometimes you're kind of like, oh, you know, you talk about those love languages. It's like nice to be told nice shit all the time, but it's also nicer to just have someone who you can count on, who's responsible and like,
yeah,
shows up.
I
you know,
and it's tough to like communicate.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
So let's play some games. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com.
Okay.
I live in a DC suburb. He asks you to drive him home after your first date. Ubers are readily available where we live. What do you think?
Is this one of those double standard ones?
It kinda might be.
I think
I know why he, I mean, there's,
is he
either
doing it so that he can get the kiss?
Get the kiss, get back, get her back towards his apartment to like, hey, why don't you come up? I
think I wouldn't blame someone for it's kind of a weird thing to have to dodge. I think, like, if we went on a date and then you were like, could you drive me home?
It would feel a little less romantic, right?
Right. I'd be like, I mean, if I had a good time, I think it'd be a red flag. I think I'd have to be like, but what am I supposed to say to you? Get an Uber?
I mean, it would be a deal breaker for me.
Could you get
an Uber? Like, if someone's like, well, can you ride me home now? I'd be like.
If a girl asked you to drive her home?
It would be more of like.
She's cheap?
It's a cheapness thing. Here's the problem, though. I have more of an issue with the person emailing in than the person she's talking about. She's claiming, I live in a D.C. suburb, and then he asked her to drive him back into the city. Why are you doing the date in the suburb?
Maybe they're doing the date in the city. Or maybe they're doing the date in the suburb. She doesn't specify.
So maybe, well, here's the case. If she lives in the suburb, she drove in for the date, and then he's like, why don't you give me a ride home? I get it.
It's on your way.
We're
already here.
Yeah, we're already here. If you live in the suburbs and you're like, I will only go out if you come out of the suburb, and like, all right, you're making, you know, Joe 27-year-old go to the D.C. suburbs because you decided to, you know, live at home for a couple years to save money. And it's like, I don't know. I have an issue with how this date got made.
It depends on like the circumstances.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think it's weird to ask anyone for a ride anywhere
unless
they offer. It's one thing if they offer and to say yes.
I will not take a ride from you unless it's set up over a phone with a stranger.
Right. Exactly. Have you ever asked someone for a ride somewhere? Like, unless they were like your very good friend?
I can't believe that whole culture existed of like giving people a ride to the airport before Uber existed.
Well, if you lived in the suburbs, do you think you had a car? Let's say you lived on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And you had a car and Jess needed to go to the airport. Would you drive her?
Yeah, I would take her. Okay. I mean, that's a different story. That's someone I have to take her.
Okay.
You know, like, that's the thing. I don't like when people, like, it's kind of a deal breaker for me because when people act too comfortable too early.
Right.
It's like,
we're not there. Well,
we're not there yet.
It seems like an inability to read the room or the situation, which is, again, that's just a sign of a lack of self-awareness.
And it's also like, you're trying to get me to your place so that you can sleep at home, that I can maybe come up. Like, even from the, I can understand from the female perspective where it's like, this feels unsafe. Like, you're trying to, like, coerce me near your apartment.
Right. We're going to be, like, in my car alone. That's, like, a little scary.
Yeah. Let's do another.
All right. Hey, J&J, love the podcast. Listening while I write this email. Can't stop talking about how funny you are. Tag a bitch, tell a friend, text the group chat, etc. I need your advice on a situation I've come into while seeing this guy. We've taken it slower than I normally have in the past, but it's been great getting to know him, and I really enjoy being around him and spending time with him. On our fourth date, he picked a nice sushi restaurant, paid for dinner, and he asked if I wanted to go back to his place. We hadn't slept together or done anything other than kiss at this point, so I was like, yes, please. He ordered an Uber, and then the car pulled up. He got in the passenger seat.
Oh, no.
It was so bizarre. I didn't know how to react, but I was kind of pissed. We ended up having the most amazing sex 3 times that night, so I let it go. But it kept sitting in the back of my mind.
Maybe he was already hard, and he was like, I got to sit in the front so she doesn't see this boner.
He then went out of town for work for 2 weeks, and we got together after he got back. Again, he organizes the date, pays for the dinner, and asks if I want to go back to his place. Definitely yes. Orders an Uber and gets in the passenger seat. I don't know what to think of this. It's the weirdest thing. I want to ask him why he does that, but I don't know how to approach this. Curious about your thoughts on whether this is a red flag or deal breaker, because literally everything about the situation is great.
It's a red flag considering everything else is great. I would have to ask.
Yeah, you'd have to ask.
You got to ask.
The first time I might not ask. I might just be like, I think I'd just kind of like let it go.
Of course. I would do the same thing as her. The second time I'm like, do you sit in the passenger seat every time?
Like, I would. Yeah, like what if you weren't like, also like on a date. You think, especially if you're heading towards sex, you would want to be like using that time to like foreplay it up a little bit.
Or like, you know, maybe it's his way of getting out of the awkwardness of like, I don't know what to do in the back seat with her while this guy's in the front.
Right.
Sitting in the passenger seats like alone is kind of weird anyway. So like maybe he does it every time. It might be a safety thing. Like maybe he's like, I lost a friend and they were in the backseat. That's like the only way that makes it not weird.
I think you could be like, hey, so what's up with the passenger seat thing?
Yeah. And
you always do that?
There's not, you know, there's room back here.
Right.
Like you can sit back here.
Right. Because it's not like he's like having sex with her. So that's the.
And she says the sex is amazing. So like, I mean, If this is the key to good sex, all these men would start sitting in the front. They'd be like, I don't know, this makes it a better seating position.
Maybe he thinks it's polite. You ever been like in a situation where like your like one of your friends is driving, he's dropping people off, mm-hmm. drops off the guy who's in the front seat, and then yeah. you're like, I'll just sit back here. It's like, now what, am I your chauffeur?
Yeah, you're being the driver.
Like, the Uber actually is your chauffeur, kind of, so.
I would ask, but it was not a deal breaker, yeah. but I would be like, I need the story behind it.
Yeah.
Like, if the story behind it is, I think it's rude to sit in the back while someone's in the front, he's not our chauffeur, I would go, okay, we have different viewpoints on life.
I'm
is
a Delta Medallion member.
I don't think you know who you're speaking to. I'm not sitting in the fucking front. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we paid for this interaction. It's okay for us to not sit in the front seat. Like, to me, that guy, you're like, oh, we have a different of life viewpoints.
Right.
But if it's like, yeah, you know, I had a friend in college who sat in the back and had a vicious you know, like, if the story's more understanding, I get it.
Right. Or if he just didn't know that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it's just like, this is how I get ready. This is what gets me ready for the good fucking.
Okay.
A guy that maintains a daily Instagram account from his dog, frequently making dog-themed puns in the comments, such as, have a pawsome day. Happy Monday, every potty. Great friends. Feeling pawtastic and referring to himself in the account as daddy or parent.
Parent.
Out. Deal breaker.
I cannot.
And it's a woman too. Deal breaker.
I wouldn't have a friend like that.
No, yeah, you're out of the group decks.
It's a different person than someone.
Yeah, yeah, you've met a different human being.
Right.
I
those people exist on like a level where they only need to interact with other people. There's nothing wrong with being this person on a certain level, but you need to quarantine yourself with other people who are like that.
It is interesting that when something, you know, like these accounts now, like it's nice to see a dog account now. Like it's nice to have the mental relief from a dog account.
Right.
I do believe in that. It is funny that what you say is very true. The quarantining of society is more real. Like, and when something big like what's going on with coronavirus happens, then you get to see the opinions of all these silos. So like I'll reference one of your accounts.
Okay.
Betches Brides.
Right.
Okay. That is a silo where the brides are all talking to each other about bride shit. You know, now I posted something about having to go to a wedding last weekend because I was in the wedding and I made a tough decision and
you went.
I went. So then I posted a tweet that was like, I'm going to a wedding this weekend. Then in parentheses said, yes, brides are evil. And then I went on with my joke of whatever it was. It got posted in Betches Brides. The comments are insane.
Pitchforks.
They're pitchforks because it's not in that silo, in that opinion silo. They all live amongst other brides who are going through the hardest thing that anyone has ever gone through. And then you bring in the reality of like the hovering real world. Like in Betches Brides groups, this coronavirus has ruined all our weddings. This is awful. It's not. Coronavirus is killing people.
Right.
You know,
watch out for the elderly you might be attending. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
Your grandma can't come to the wedding now.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they...
That's what I'm saying. Everyone who has a certain opinion, it's not necessarily... I mean, like, it's shitty. If you're in that... Especially if you're in that mindset where you've been planning this thing for, like, months and months and months, and you're kind of like, I've been doing for the past year is picking out floral fucking arrangements.
But
and
you only realize how crazy you are until
when
something
else
from the outside world. So like even this dog account, someone could put up in the dog account, dogs can't get, I read something, dogs can't get coronavirus. Right. And then there was a funny meme that was like, Thank God. What's that?
Oh, who let the dogs out?
It was WHO literally let the dogs out. Who let the dogs out?
Right.
Funny meme, funny tweet. But if you went to the dog thing and they were like, well, there's a reason God wouldn't let dogs get it because dogs are better than people. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, then it becomes, oh, you guys are crazy.
Now you're a subset.
Yeah.
Right. Well, those people, I mean, like, there's enough of those people that they can breed with themselves. The parents.
Yeah, the power. Well, it's just the siloing of opinions where it's like this parent, he would be like, what's wrong? And you'd be like, well, you know, the outside world thinks you guys are crazy.
Right. Well, then that person, go, well, you guys are wrong. Parent would also probably be like, you guys are assholes. I'm just like loving my dog.
Yeah, because at their town hall meeting, at the world town hall meeting, the guy getting on stage that goes, just got a few things to say about the parent community. Everyone just go, boo, sit down. We got more important. This is a disease. But that same guy gets off the town hall meeting of the parents.
Right.
And they go, finally, someone's talking about it.
Exactly. And that is the 7 billion person world in which we live in.
That is it.
All right. That is our show.
Stay safe.
Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Don't touch your face. It's really hard. I do it all the time. I keep doing it. It's very hard not to.
Yeah, I've done it. Yeah. I don't know. It's so tough.
I think I saw your tweet where you were like, screw, don't touch my face.
I put up a stand-up bit. I think it was the only appropriate one to put
really
up.
Funny. Yeah, thank you. It's really hard to not touch. I touch my face probably more than I did before this.
Very difficult. Be safe. Be good to one another. UUP at Betches.com. This podcast will continue in some way or another as much as we can do it and over live streams after we're done in this office today. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Boom.
Bye. You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.